everybody. Welcome to the Stash, MyComics.com podcast, episode 12. I'm your host, known on the forums as Matt B., and with me tonight is nobody. Aww. But that's okay. You see, things are constantly changing. We all have different schedules and different things to keep up with. So, some of the fellow staff members slash writers slash administrators on the website are going to be helping me out this time with a couple special segments. So I will do the news, followed by a special segment on Valiant Comics, more specifically Exo Manowar number 1, which was a great book. And we'll do a little bit of house cleaning, talk about the site, the forums, the Twitter accounts, the Facebooks. And then we'll end off with another special segment, courtesy of some members of the site, talking about the Avengers movie. So, without further ado, let's go into the news.
There's going to be a new alternate Spider-Man cartoon.
Well, it's definitely the right move for them.
Update number 8 was released.
Broke the record for highest selling comic book of all time. Top secret classified documents.
Hey there. News time is fun. And guess what? It's official. As of just a couple of days ago, this is according to Newsarama.com, North American box office returns are in. The Avengers scored a record-shattering $207.4 million over the weekend, with a worldwide total growing of an estimated $654.9 million. What does this mean? Well, Marvel, Disney, and all those connected to the project are now just extremely rich. They're extremely very rich. Now, actually, this is really just a big win for comic book fans in general. It's drawn more attention to our favorite art, and it also sets the stage for hopefully more movies from Marvel and DC and even the indies. In other Newsarama news, Jeff Lemire's Vertigo series, Sweet Tooth, will be ending with December's issue number 40. And Lemire says, and I quote, courtesy of the DC Vertigo blog, "I want to make one thing clear, Sweet Tooth is not being canceled. The decision to end it at 40 is entirely my choice." So the last issue of Sweet Tooth will be double-sized and fully painted, and it features the climax of this Wild Kingdom arc that has will be starting with issue 36 in August. So, great work on that book. I haven't read the entire thing. I do have some of the issues. I know a lot of people are really loving this. I know they'll be sad to see it go, but, you know, hey, all good things sometimes have to come to an end. Going back to the Avengers, courtesy of comicbookresources.com, over the past 6 years or so, fans impatiently awaiting Marvel's Ant-Man movie have become accustomed to infrequent script updates and, most recently, hope-filled assurances from Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige that the product is as close as it has ever been. But what are they to make of the above image? And I will talk about this. Writer and director Edgar Wright posted just this weekend. Now, the image that he posted you can check out on comicbookresources.com, that article I just quoted from them. And basically, it is, imagine a men's room symbol. It's sort of a red man, and then in the next picture over, it's a picture of an ant. And then the third picture is the two combined. So, you know, take it for what you see it as. We hear lots of rumors about lots of different movies. Not sure if this one's going to happen. Certainly, you would think that Marvel would find some more prominent characters than Ant-Man for a movie, but I'd like to see it. Moving on, Newsarama.com, great place for news. DC Comics is not going to take this whole competition with Marvel thing lying down. Avengers vs. X-Men is doing very well, and Marvel has some, DC rather, has some tricks up their sleeve to help compete with their competitor. They are going to be bringing out another Green Lantern crossover. Currently, they have the Court of the Owls going on. We've got Before Watchmen coming up, Batman Inc. being re-released, and they are hinting at a Trinity War, something that looks like it's going to be between Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. That should be a really big event for them. So, DC trying to keep pace, doing a good job so far this year. Both companies, in my eyes, doing very well, putting out a lot of good stuff. And let's not forget the indies, also doing a bang-up job. Speaking of the indies, this will wrap up the news, and we'll go right into our next segment, courtesy of Chip Reese and Tim Morse of the forums. Let's take it to you guys.
The dialogue is so great.
You know, I don't know where in the timeline this is all taking place.
Fans of Deathstroke are going to love this.
What ends up happening is that other people start finding out about this.
It's a bunch of humans in these invisible suits.
These guys look pretty hardcore.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us today. With me, I have Chip Reese, one of the administrators and awesome blog contributors.
Gracias. Howdy.
And I am Tim Morse, the public relations and coordination manager. We both work for stashmycomics.com. If you guys get a chance after the podcast is over, head over to the blog and check it out. Chip just put out a really awesome article with a name that I cannot even think to pronounce.
Oh, the Anthropomorphics?
Yes. Yes.
Golden Age article about our lovely animal characters from the past.
Like Mighty Mouse and even Mickey Mouse and stuff like that. And what was the rabbit, the Captain Marvel rabbit? What was his name?
Hoppy. Real generic rabbit name.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to know more about that, head over to the blog and check that out. Also, you can check out things that I've written. I mean, I'm a loyal contributor to Back Issue Bin to the Future. We just got done with our month of Valiant. Chip even helped out with that. We did the interview with Kevin Van Hook, which was totally awesome. Also, we got on there the first issue of Exo Manowar number 1, Eternal Warrior number 1, Archer and Armstrong number 1, and a bunch of other stuff that contributed to the month of Valiant. But with that month of Valiant, that all led up to this, which was the release of Exo Manowar number 1. Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, everything's been leading up to this in the land of comic books. I mean, they created such a hype to start that I was initially afraid that they were not going to be able to live up to that. What did you think, Chip?
I felt the same way. I mean, it was pretty intense marketing for the longest time. So, yeah, it seemed doomed to fail, because there's so much good stuff leading up to it. But I think they came through.
I agree. I agree. Like you were saying with the intense marketing and stuff like that, I mean, they were nailing Twitter every day, Facebook every day, about not only Exo, but the other titles that are coming out, Bloodshot and Archer and Armstrong and Harbinger. Harbinger's the next one in line. But, I mean, with this, you have a deep, deep history having to do with Exo and with Eric, the Visigoth. So, when you read the new Exo Manowar, you hadn't read the original before, had you?
No.
No. Okay, so first impressions, without knowing the history of Exo, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was the complete package. It hit all the right spots. I mean, artwork, writing, story, pacing. I thought everything was super duper. I really can't say anything honestly negative. They left just enough to keep you hooked, and they didn't pack too much into the issue to make you...
They didn't oversaturate.
No.
No.
They just kind of barely gave us a little taste. And, yeah, I think that...
The way that it...
That was smart.
The way that it felt to me... For a minute, I'm going to forget that I had ever read the original Exo. And the way that it felt to me was that they really, really dove into Eric as a character. I mean, like, we got to know him a little bit, and we got to know how he was and how he reacts to things, and even got to see him kind of fall a little bit before the major plot of the issue takes place. Like, when they're fighting the Roman army, and Alaric, I believe is his name, Eric's uncle, the king of the Visigoths, gives the order to retreat. What does Eric do? He's like, no, we're not going to do that. You know, we've been the Romans' lackeys for this long. This isn't going to happen anymore. And he goes and raises the morale of the troops and sends them to slaughter, basically.
Yeah. I like that they did that. They didn't make it your typical, yeah, guy motivates everybody. They're victorious, you know, the underdog, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they right away gave us a character flaw, you know, that he's pretty full of himself.
Absolutely.
Thinks he's pretty awesome, and then he totally gets knocked on his butt.
Now, going into some comparison, now you've read the original XO. You've taken the time to get that on Comixology, which, by the way, if people didn't know, Comixology has the zero issue and the first five issues, I think, of the XO title, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But having read the original that Jim Shooter wrote, the creator of the Valiant universe, for all intents and purposes, and looking now at what they've done today with the new Valiant universe, with XO coming back out, how does Robert Venditti's writing compare to that?
Like I said, I was really impressed with the pacing of the new XO. Going back, reading the first of the original series, I think I could tell that they're trying, and maybe this, I mean, I have no clue what the marketing was and everything originally for that, but I felt like they were trying to pack a ton into that first issue.
Yeah, like you came right in the middle of the storyline.
Yeah, I kind of felt, I mean, not totally lost, but I felt like I just missed a huge chunk of the story. Yeah. And I had a hard time caring about Eric and what he was going through. I mean, he just kept referring to the problem or to what led to his situation, but we didn't get to see any of that. He's just running around naked with some.
To me, it's exactly like you said. It felt like you came in, like you were dropped right in the middle of the story. And I understand why they did that, like with the zero issues and all of that stuff, but it didn't work. Like, when I read XO number one, the original, to write the review on, I felt that way through the entire issue as I was reading it. I was like, okay, this is great, this is awesome, this Jim Shooter's at his best here, but it's missing something. I mean, like, there's no explanation for how Eric got there. There's no explanation for a lot of things. You know, and he just kind of stumbles upon the armor.
And as far as Eric's character goes in the original XO, too, it felt kind of like he was a blockhead.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't really have any intelligent dialogue going on. It was kind of grunt. I mean, it was almost like the Hulk talking.
Exactly, like a straight-up barbarian, like a straight-up caveman. But,
yeah.
But see, taking that with now, Eric is totally different. I think maybe a piece of that is still in him, but now he's a fleshed-out character. He's full-fledged.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. Now let's take a look at the artwork for a second. With the original artwork, with how that was in the original XO series, if I remember correctly, I think it was Layton that did that artwork. Let me double check on that. But regardless of that, Valiant was known for having very stiff art. Like, they succeeded in getting a lot of older talent, like Perlin for Bloodshot, and Barry Windsor Smith for Archer and Armstrong, and things of that nature. But, I mean, they were not known for overly flamboyant artwork. And case in point with the original EXO, if you look at that, it is Bob Layton. If you look at that, his artwork, he was best known for his time on Iron Man. But, you know, with that transitioning into the 90s when the original EXO came out, it was good. It gave you the sense of what was going on, but like all other Valiant art, it was stiff.
Yeah. I think it was a step up from some other stuff that Valiant had. Wasn't maybe quite as stiff, but like you said, it still had the same feel as most of what was out there.
Right.
At the time.
But with Cary Nord, with his pencils now, he used to work on Conan for Dark Horse. Huh. And I think that helped a lot with the new Valiant, with putting that on the new EXO, because that transition's really good. Obviously, he knows how to draw the medieval style and stuff like that, and really put it out there. And I think he pulled no punches when doing this. I mean, I'm looking on my Kindle right now, that massive two-page spread of the battle between the Romans and the Visigoths.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's amazing. I mean, you can see just how chaotic they were. Like, the Visigoths are in this clump, and then there's these scattered sections of soldiers forming a haphazard line to protect themselves. And you look at the Romans, and they're all in these very tight, very concentrated formations. You've got the ballistas and the augers in the back ready to fire, you know, and the Visigoths are just scattered like sheets in the wind.
I really enjoyed the artwork. Nord kind of reminds me, and I hadn't had any experience, at least that I can think of, with his artwork until I read this issue, but kind of has a John Cassidy feel to it. Just really smooth.
Yeah. With Nord's artwork, for me, When I dived into this, when we first got the email that had this in there, I'll never forget it. I had to put my kids to sleep. I had to make sure that it was quiet and that I had no interruptions. And as soon as I read it, I think that I was expecting something a little different than what I saw visually. Now, not to say that Cary Nord's artwork isn't good. It is. It's great. And I believe I even gave it a 9 on my review of it. But it just seemed like some parts were a little hastily drawn. Like there were too many sketch lines and stuff like that. Not enough refining. And that may have been on the inker's part. But that was the only real downfall that I saw with artwork.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, you can see that in the two-page spread, but if you go a couple of pages in, like when Eric is trying to rally the troops, you know, you can see that just a little bit. And, like, when they do the far-back shots and stuff like that, it just seems a little hastily drawn to me, like a little too quick. But other than that, I thought it was great. One of my favorite parts, though, just to add it in there, I'm going to go under the assumption that anybody listening to this has already read the issue, and if you haven't, then you've been hiding under the proverbial comic book rock for too long, and you need to stop listening to this and go to the comic book store and buy this right now. Don't mind that. That's my fault. but one of my favorite parts is when Eric is leading the charge with his father right beside him, and that Roman stabs him, solar plexus, and then the next frame, Eric is lopping his head off. That was drawn fantastic. That actually made me go, whoa, when I saw that.
Yeah, that was stellar.
Yeah, it was unreal.
I thought the action was, like, there's just the right amount. Like, it wasn't overboard. It wasn't, you know, they weren't just trying to go crazy on the blood and gore just to make it like that.
No, it was really, I guess for lack of a better term, mature in how the story progressed.
Yeah. They weren't trying to shock and awe. You know, I think they're trying to craft a really intelligent story here, and they're shying away from all the extravagant guts and whatnot.
Right. Because go ahead.
Just saying I'm impressed by that.
I think that part of the allure of the original Valiant Universe, aside from it being totally different, was in every other panel you would see blood splatter and stuff like that, or somebody getting shot in the head and brains flying everywhere. With this, that type of gore and that type of action doesn't seem misplaced. You know, it like with the battle with the Visigoths and the Romans, it actually fits. It's needed there.
Yeah, I agree.
So, final thoughts on Exo Manowar from 1 to 10, what do you give it?
I give it a 9.
A 9? Why a 9?
9, I think, on the art. I mean, it's almost perfect. Not quite there. Like you said, with the hastily drawn, I mean, that might be feeling kind of the same thing, but the facial detail I felt kind of lacked. Like, the faces were pretty simple in appearance. I like detailed facial expressions. I like people to look quite a bit different from, or you can tell them apart.
Right.
I'm a Kevin Maguire fan. That kind of a deal always impresses me. So that's the one thing to take, I guess, I take away from it. Doesn't mean it's really bad at all. I mean, I'm still super impressed, super pumped for what's coming next.
Right.
Yeah.
With everything that Valiant's done, do you think that it has delivered? I mean, have they delivered on their promise to really bring it back?
Yes, I think so. And I think they're doing it right this time. Like, going back to the first issue of the original series, was very rushed, not a very good base set, for at least for Exo. But this, I think, sets a really solid foundation for the series to move on.
Absolutely.
And if they keep the same pacing up like this, I think it's going to be sweet. And I don't think people are going to mind dishing out the money for each issue. I mean, they're not going to be sitting here going, come on, this story's not moving along. I think there's just enough of everything in the issue to feel like you got your money's worth and to keep going with it.
Absolutely. If anybody that's listening has read my review, you'll know that I personally gave it a 9, both on artwork and story. But the one thing that really captivated me about this was that they're taking Eric's journey to get the armor from a half an issue storyline to a multi-issue storyline. And I think that in itself is a huge selling point for me and for other fans too. I mean, we're not getting shortchanged this time. You know, it's going to be a big story, and it's going to be a great story just by this first issue. So with that, though, Chip, are you looking forward to Harbinger?
I haven't decided on that one. Well, mostly because I'm pinching my pennies.
Right.
But, I mean, I really want to try everything out that Valiant has and hope to catch a preview issue or something.
Now, I know your big excitement is Bloodshot.
Yeah, I've got that one on hold at the comic shop. I'm going to pick that up for sure.
Are you going to get the pull box variant cover?
I believe so. I requested it, and the comic shop gave me the full issue variant of XO.
That's great. That's great. Side note on that, I was looking on eBay just for sheer curiosity to see how much people were trying to hawk it for, and they were trying to hawk the pull box variant cover for $10. Yeah. And the yellow and gold cover, they were trying to sell for $30, and the app cover, the one where XO actually will talk to you, they were trying to sell for $50.
Okay.
Yeah. So be wary, guys. You can still get the pull box variant for cover price. So don't buy it on eBay. You just had to get it on the pull box. But, all right, that's all we have for the new Valiant right now. Chip, it was great talking to you. Great having you on board. Do you have anything else you want to add before we close this out?
No, just super impressed and excited to see what else Valiant has coming.
Fantastic, fantastic. I can definitely say that I am on board with you on that. I cannot wait for the next issue. Well, all right, guys, Matt, we're going to pass it back over to you, but thank you very much for giving us the time to do this for you. We hope to see you guys again the next time the podcast comes out. Have a good night.
Ta-ta.
A big thank you to Chip Reese and Tim Morse for covering XO Manowar number 1. I appreciate your guys' help on the podcast. Hey, we're a great community at StashMyComics.com. Join the forums. Get involved. We all review stuff. We all talk about stuff. It's a great place to be if you like comics. You can go online and sign up for that, and you get to keep track of your comics for free. There's a gigantic database of comics that has every comic book imaginable constantly updated, so you can keep track of your comics through your computer or your mobile device. Go to facebook.com/myComics and like us and do all that Facebook-y kind of stuff. Also, we're very active on Twitter, twitter.com/myComics. If you'd like to reach me there, I am Matt B. Podcaster. That's my Twitter account. My email address, podcast@StashMyComics.com. Feel free to drop me a note and let us know what you think about the show, how we can improve it, maybe things you want us to talk about on the show. Give us some feedback. And, of course, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. Be sure to rate us and review us and do all those good things that helps us in the ratings and helps us get up there in the rankings. We appreciate your support. Okay, let's go on to our special segment.
Okay, thank you very much, Matt, for bringing us back for the Avengers segment of our podcast. With me is Jason Martin, our esteemed editor-in-chief at StashMyComics.com. How you doing today, Jason?
Doing well.
Great, fantastic. And at his right side is the author of our Geek Cinema column, Tom Hefner. Tom, how you doing?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I am ready to pull my hair out, but other than that, I'm...
Interesting, interesting. All right. Not the reaction I had to the movie, but okay, sure.
It's all an excitement, I promise you. As you guys are well aware, today we are talking about the Avengers. The
Marvel's The Avengers.
Marvel's The Avengers.
Oh, Interesting side note, in the UK, I saw where they were, they had to rebrand it because, you know, because with, you know, the Avengers over there.
Yeah.
So they were originally going to call it Marvel's Avengers Assemble.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, that, yeah. It's called Avengers Assemble over there, right?
Yeah, I think so. Or it's like Marvel or Marvel's Avengers Assemble. It's, you know.
So I guess in a way we got to see the Avengers Assemble. Though they didn't say it in the movie. Spoiler. But anyways, the multi-million dollar opening weekend shattered all records, as it should have. Marvel movie spectacular.
Yeah, it made some money, I heard, yeah.
Yeah, $207 million from the Thursday midnight showings all the way to that last show on Sunday night. Let's dive right into that, guys. Tom, what did you think of The Avengers?
I liked it very, very much. You know, I in the reactions I've been kind of seeing online and reading in comment sections and hearing some reviews from folks like us, a.k.a. huge comics geeks, it seemed to have been a religious experience for a lot of people. I don't think I shared that, per se, but, I you know, it was exactly what I would expect and want an Avengers movie to be without necessarily, you know, reinventing the wheel. So, yeah, it was. I mean, I plan to see it again. It was fantastic. Absolutely.
I've seen it twice, and I took my kids to see it, which I guess I could have been the closest thing to a religious experience with them. but they loved it. They loved it. My wife is a lot like yours, Tom, in the sense that she hasn't necessarily read comics,
yeah,
but more watched them on film and on television and stuff like that. But she was just as excited as I was, probably a little more, to go see this. She threatened me with bodily harm if we didn't see it. So... But it was fantastic just watching my daughter and my son and even my wife enjoy this as much as I did. In and of itself was fantastic. Jason, what did you think of the film?
It was, you know, very well done. I loved it. I don't want to call it a cinematic masterpiece because that's The Godfather or Shawshank, but I think I'm comfortable calling it a comic book movie masterpiece or a comic movie masterpiece because it lived up to all the hype and, you know, it was one of the best comic book movies, you know, that you can go see.
It did live up to the hype, though, because, I mean, it was make or break with the Avengers. Everything led up to that, like the Iron Man films, the Incredible Hulk, Thor and Captain America, those were successes in their own right, but if the Avengers failed, I mean, where would we be now?
If the Avengers failed, all those movies were for naught, because they were, I mean, they made them simply to be prequels for the Avengers, more or less. You know, I think I wrote this in one of my columns, like, who was dying or clamoring to see a Thor movie?
Nobody.
Exactly. But they needed to make it for... To be able to make the Avengers, because if they didn't make those movies, then we would have had to spend like 45 minutes meeting those characters, and that would have pretty much ruined the whole movie.
It would have put a big handicap on trying to tell any kind of, you know, coherent story without it feeling rushed or, you know, just not fleshed out.
Right.
Absolutely. I can remember reading news and reviews and things like that when Thor was coming out, and they were talking about how nobody was expecting what they called a C-list character to hold a movie on his own, but it turned out to be really, really good.
The Thor movie, I did enjoy the Thor movie a great deal.
But moving forward with the Avengers, let's take a look at his performance as Thor. Do you think that he matured from Thor to the Avengers, or was it a little different?
I thought he matured a lot in Thor, because, you know, when he starts out, he's like a, you know, a child, everything's about him, and then, you know, by the end, whether or not it was part of the movie, you know, he had to grow up during the film.
Right.
So when we see him here, he's still got all the changes that he's made from Thor, so he doesn't change a lot in this one to me. as far as his character.
Okay, I think that he was a little more attached to Earth at this point, because, like with Jane Foster, you know, that little tidbit that they had in there, but when he was dealing with Loki on top of the mountain, that part right there was significant. And I think that showed how the character grew from the movie Thor to his appearance in the Avengers.
You know, one of the things that I've said I've really enjoyed about the film is that it's a true ensemble piece. You know, X-Men was really Wolverine's movie, but the Avengers was about the Avengers. But I would say that of the six, I thought that Thor was perhaps the least utilized. And I thought maybe if you talk about growth within the arc of the film, even though Loki is Thor's villain, per se, I thought that Chris Hemsworth, who I really like in the part, I thought that he was the one who's kind of, okay, well, he's Thor. And it's kind of the same performance we got in Thor, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but I would just say he was the one who held my attention the least.
Okay.
I will agree with that. He's all the characters, they grew, or at least to me, it seemed like, you know, they grew. Cap definitely grew into the leader role.
He did.
You know, Iron Man, he grew into being more of a hero and not so much about himself.
An arrogant jerk.
Yeah. So,
be nice. You know,
so yeah, Thor was definitely the one that he held my attention the least.
Yeah. He had the smallest character arc. I mean, I would say, put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, but when he starts swinging that hammer and the lightning starts to come, and you know that it's time for an Asgardian butt whooping.
Oh yeah, look. I mean, again, I really like him as the character. I like him in the role. And Thor certainly is vital to the Avengers for a number of reasons. But yeah, I thought he was maybe the least utilized in this particular film. And it's tough to juggle six main characters plus, you know, your three S.H.I.E.L.D. agent supporting characters plus a well-developed villain. And the fact that they juggled them all, and we're just talking about sort of nitpicking
on
Thor here, the fact that we're saying other than that, everyone was equally served is a remarkable feat as for a writer, for a filmmaker. And I really, really, that's one of the things I appreciate most of all about this film.
That's right. Whedon did that really, really well. He was able to take a movie-created character like Agent Coulson, who became a fan favorite overnight, and put him in the middle of all these guys.
I love Agent Coulson.
Yeah, he's definitely the best character out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I just YouTubed those two things that are on the Blu-ray, because I don't have Blu-ray, because I'm stuck in the 20th century.
Interesting happened on the way to Thor's hammer. And,
yeah, those. The Thor's hammer one especially is fantastic.
I love it. I love it. It's great. If anybody that's listening to this hasn't seen it on their Thor Blu-ray, you need to look at that.
Especially if you're an H. Coulson fan.
Yes, absolutely. And his Captain America Near Mint trading cards.
Yep.
But going into that, Whedon really did a stellar job with juggling, like you said, all of those characters, that ensemble cast, and even taking the human characters like Black Widow and Hawkeye and really putting them in your face, so to speak, so that way you knew that they were there and you knew that they could swing as much as the other guys could.
Well, if Whedon, before the Avengers, knew how to do one thing well, it was to write stories that had a lot of characters. Buffy always had, you know, four, five, six characters. Angel had tons of characters. His run on Astonishing had tons of characters, and they all never felt like one character was less utilized than the other, and that shows through with, you know, this.
Right, absolutely. Tom, what do you think about that? Do you think that Whedon was the right choice for this? Do you think that he did a stellar job?
I think it's easy in hindsight to say he was the right choice because he did do a stellar job. It's certainly easy for us to say, hey, yeah, it was a perfect choice. It was great, you know. But I think one of the things that we bring up here is you guys are bringing up is a great point that he has so much experience writing for ensembles, whether it's, you know, Angel, Firefly, Buffy, that if you want to bring someone in who's going to be able to write an ensemble, give them equal weight, he is the guy. And what's really interesting here is that, what's really great here is that we've seen him, I think with this film, go from just sort of, oh, that sort of geek, god, you know, TV show maker, and now he's an, you know, all of Avengers, he's clearly now a big-time Hollywood movie director, A-list director, and what brings him there is the last 30 minutes of the film.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That scene, the end battle scene, I thought utilized every member of the team in their way.
Absolutely.
Like when Captain America, like Jason, I think you were talking about this earlier, when Captain America finally took control, you know, for me, I was patriotic there. I became a firm believer in the salute, and my flag is your flag. Go get them, stars and stripes all the way.
Well, and that was one of the things I was concerned about going into the film, was whether or not in a big battle like that, where they have to fight together, would it be reduced to them just standing in a circle and, you know, letting the legions of whatever attack them, or are they going to be able to, you know, Iron Man, Thor go off and fly, Hulk jump around, and, you know, and actually pace the action and have everything flow together to where it's not so choppy and it's not cutting back from one to the other, and, you know, or focusing on one or two characters while Hawkeye and Black Widow have to just go off to the side for a while.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that was bar none my number one concern about the film. I mean, look, I'm being completely honest. Going into it, I was very worried that last battle scene. Look, the final battle in a lot of comic book films is often anticlimactic, and I was worried that we were going to just – I thought it was going to be ridiculous. Like, how could these six people push back these hordes of monsters that are coming through whatever portal? And I figured it was just going to be, you know, Thor and Iron Man and the Hulk taking care of business while Black Widow and Hawkeye particularly had nothing to do. But they did a great job in staging the fight. They did a great job in choreographing the fight. They did a great job in having every single member of the team be vital to the combat in their own way. Mm-hmm. Honestly, my favorite part of the movie is the last 30 minutes. You know, I really, really liked the rest of it, and then that is what sold me on the film as, okay, this is one of the top comic book films. When you rank them, this is going to be in, like, the top five of that list easily.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, let's take a look at we talked about Thor. Let's laze over Hawkeye.
Sure.
Now, aside from the article where they talk about him being the worst archer ever, we're going to suspend disbelief and say he's so immaculate and so spectacular that he can shoot an arrow through an atom. But that aside, what did you think of his performance?
I enjoyed it a great deal. Look, I know the breakout character that we've been hearing the buzz on is the Hulk, it seems to be. But I know that leaving the theater, the group of friends I went with, Hawkeye was their favorite character. I thought Jeremy Renner he's a great actor to begin with. He was appropriately badass. He had the perfect sort of anti-Cap Hawkeye cockiness that is vital to the character, I think, and it really defines the character in the Avengers comics. Was he a textbook archer? No, but does it matter in a movie? No, so
absolutely not.
Well, yeah. So look at it though. I mean, they kind of got him right because he was a villain to start, wasn't he?
Yes.
And okay, minor spoiler. In the beginning, he gets turned into a bad guy. So
it's like the first 3 minutes.
Right, but they did it right. They did it right. My brother even asked me about that. He's like, "Why is Hawkeye a bad guy? Why'd they make him a bad guy? That's not right." And I had this. I couldn't say. I had to tell him. I was like, "Just watch. All will be revealed."
Yeah.
And I think, you know, having him become a bad guy and then come back, that really invested the audience because you saw Black Widow's reaction to him being like that. You know, it really brought the audience in. It made you want him to come back and, you know, these characters to be back where they, you know, were or where they're going, not to have him as a bad guy. And that invested the audience in the story more so than just him being a straight character throughout the entire thing.
Right, being a two-dimensional S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yeah. Yeah. And can we just say, come bouncing off of that, I thought that Scarlett Johansson was so much more comfortable in her Black Widow skin in this film than she was in Iron Man 2, and I was honestly surprised at how much and how important Black Widow ended up being.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I was comfortable with her in her skin. I'm just saying that now, but... She turned out to be my favorite character in the film. I was really surprised and really impressed with just how much she was used.
Yeah. Yeah, and it all goes back to that, using them all well and equally, and that it just makes the entire movie, in addition to, you know, having the character return from their own film so they don't have to build up their origins. But, yeah, absolutely, I agree. She was used far better than I thought she'd be.
Absolutely. Jason, what did you think?
Well, yeah, I just have to, you know, parrot what you guys say. She was used a lot more than I thought, and a lot of it going in, I thought that the human characters wouldn't get a lot of play just because they're not as interesting, I guess, as the, you know, the God or the Super Soldier or the Gamma Freak, and, you know, it's...
Gamma Freak, that's a new one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by how much she was used and how integral to the story that she was.
Right on, right on. Okay, guys, let's take some final thoughts on the Avengers. Tom, final thoughts, scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
Oh, put me on the spot. A scale of 1 to 10, 8.5 to a 9, which, look, I know is going to say, oh, my God, that's so low, but I'm a teacher, I'm a tough grader anyway. 8.5 to 9, yeah.
Jason, what would you give it?
Oh.
Come on.
Well, see, I give, it's tough. I mean, yeah, I guess an 8, 8.5. That's just because, like, I give Shawshank a 10, and I shouldn't compare them, but yeah, I can't put it up there with Shawshank.
I think that once this podcast comes out, I a couple of people will have heart attacks with the ratings that you guys have given.
I mean, it's nothing where there's something wrong that I'm gonna, you know, that I'm downgrading it for that. It's just, it was a great film. I just can't put it up there with some, you know.
Fear not, listeners. When I came out of that movie, I was screaming 10, 10.
Well, see, and coming from you, I know that's really high praise because you hardly ever give things a 10.
I give, yeah. Exo Manowar didn't even get a 10 out of me. It got a 9. But this, I was in awe. I was in awe from the moment Nick Fury stepped out of the helicopter until the end scene, the end scene after the credits when they were eating shawarma.
Spoiler!
Oh yeah. By the way, make sure you stay for the two extra scenes.
Yes.
The first one's great. The second one is brilliant.
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, from start to finish, I was in awe. I was in awe. And I said to my wife, I said, we just watched history. This movie's going to break every record out there.
And look, let me just also say here, I have no emotional attachment really to the Avengers. I didn't start reading the Avengers in comics until Bendis took over.
Oh.
I had never bought an issue of the Avengers before then. I was almost solely, you know, mutants and Spider-Man at the point.
Speaking of this, they did him a nod in the credits.
They did. I saw that. But I have no emotional attachment to the Avengers, so I'm not sitting here being all nostalgic about it. And I really do think that this movie owes a lot, not just, of course, to Lee and Kirby, but as much to Millar and Hitch because of how reflective of the Ultimates this really ultimately is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, aside from Nick Fury being Samuel Jackson, you know, there's plenty of other, you know, comparisons that you can make between this movie and the Ultimates. Hawkeye and Black Widow being agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, being a S.H.I.E.L.D. team, really. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, being a S.H.I.E.L.D.-funded team, I mean, it did borrow a lot from that, and that made it, in my opinion, a much better film, just because The Ultimates is a great, great novel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, volumes 1 and 2, 3 didn't exist as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That's for another podcast.
Oh, God.
But, so we've got our final thoughts there. Now, what's after the Avengers? I mean, we have Iron Man 3 is in pre-production right now. Thor 2 is in pre-production right now. Captain America 2 has yet to establish a writer, but we can pretty much say that that's going to happen. And what about the other Avengers characters? I mean, there's talks that Ant-Man has a movie coming out.
Do we need an Ant-Man movie, really?
No, really?
We don't. We need Pym. Hank Pym has to be around somewhere.
I'll take Pym as Giant Man. I don't want him as Ant Man.
I think that's a podcast another day too. We didn't need a Thor movie though either, and that certainly turned out pretty well. I think coming out of this, that people, there's going to start being sort of a, not a demand per se, but people talking about how much they want to see a Hulk movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, Mark Ruffalo comes out of this as one of the highs of the film. He gets what I think is the best line in the film. And the Hulk himself is the best Hulk I've ever seen on screen. It's the closest to the comic book Hulk I've ever seen on screen. And they got it right. You know, there's humor with that character that has never been played. There is a sense that he's much smarter than people think he is, which is rarely played. And he's not a mindless brute. The Hulk is more like a petulant, frustrated child. And they really, I thought, got that with this iteration of the Hulk, more so than we saw in the Incredible Hulk or in, you know, just adjectiveless Hulk.
Adjective. We'll see, going with that, Hulk, I personally don't think, could hold his own movie. I mean, we saw that before with Ang Lee's Hulk and with the Incredible Hulk. You know, they were good, regardless of what anybody thinks about the first one. The first one is a tragic love story. I love the movie. I thought it was good. But The Incredible Hulk was better, but it still didn't do as good as they wanted it to. So with me, a third Hulk film probably wouldn't be a good idea. I mean,
well, but would you watch it if it was Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. His Banner, me and my brother both said that was our favorite Banner.
Mm-hmm.
His job was fantastic.
And I liked Ed Norton's Banner a lot, and Mark Ruffalo I liked a lot, too. Just two very good actors playing two very different characters. You know,
they were.
I liked them both.
Yeah, right on.
Well, you know, there's obviously going to be an Avengers sequel. I think they've already told, or they've already asked Joss Whedon to do it again, which is, you know, brilliant. What the early little bit that I've read has said that the next one will probably be more scaled back, will be more, you know, character focused. It won't deal so much with the big bad having to, you know, unite to fight it, because they'll already be established as a team. And I think that's a good direction, because after some of the things that happened in this film, it was so big, so, you know, massive. Some of the scenes were so involved that if they try to do it again and try to top it, it's going to burn itself out.
Well,
if they're going to scale back the next movie, then that first end credit scene don't make much sense.
No.
Well, no, but I mean, it'll be more about, I guess, the characters, not so much.
Well, that ain't
scaling it back, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Just get speculation at this point, but
oh yeah. Well, that's the fun part, speculation.
That's right. With that though, we're gonna have to cut it short, guys.
Sure, no problem, guys.
No problem.
Once again, Jason Martin, thank you very much for joining me today. Tom,
absolutely.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Don't forget, guys, if you have a chance, go ahead and check out the blog on StashMyComics.com. It's StashMyComics.com/blog. You can find Tom's Geek Cinema articles there. Jason and I work really hard to bring out the back issue Bend to the Futures for you. A lot of other writers, Chip Reese, for example, Chance Peterson, bringing out advanced reviews and other reviews on comics that are coming out. Don't forget, if you guys want some really cool merchandise like bumper stickers or coffee mugs, cooking aprons, T-shirts, even little baby onesies and cool stuff like that, Stash My Comics now has a merchandise store. It's Zazzle.com/StashMyComics. Go ahead and check that out. Zazzle.com/StashMyComics.
Matt, merchandise?
Matt, we're heading it back to you. Thank you guys very much. We'll see you next podcast.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the help. I think we all enjoyed the Avengers movie. Hey, guys, that's going to do it for the show. We hope to see you next time on StashMyComics.com. See you guys later. Thanks for listening.